Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. All right, thanks for joining me today. We're going to 3 o'clock, and this hour we're very fortunate to have this gentleman. Very, very busy schedule. This guy's all over the place, but very nice of him not only to show up here today, but to show up with this downpour that we've had in our America's finest city today. Peter Seidler, general partner of the Padres and lead investor. Very nice to have you, and hope you and the family had a marvelous holiday.
John, thanks for having me in. We did have a great holiday and, you know, a couple of days off and back to work.
Well, you guys
said no days off.
Yeah, well, there aren't too many days off this time of year. You guys are going to be basically hosting the winter meetings next week. You got to be pretty excited about that.
It's terrific. And really all the clubs and the people in the commissioner's office as well, they love coming to San Diego, especially this time of year, but really any time in our city, the hotels, really everybody in the city is so welcoming. It's such a great venue. And hopefully it sets the stage for some exciting movement, whether it's through trades or free agency, not just by us, but by all the clubs. It's, you know, historically what the winter meetings have been all about.
You know, I obviously want to talk a lot of baseball with you, but before we get into, you know, breaking it all down and talking about the roster and what you guys have done and what you hope to do the remainder of the year, I want to talk a little bit about you and your wife and what you guys have done. I mean, you've lived here in San Diego about 6 years, right?
7 years, yes.
7 years. And, you know, I mean, I can read a bio about you, but again, you're only going to be here at 2 o'clock, and I'd still be reading when I got off the air at 3:05. You and your wife, you guys have done an incredible job in our community, and I thank you for that, being a lifelong San Diegan. And I just want to kind of get your thoughts on, you came to town, you buy the Padres, but man, you jumped in with both feet, and you guys are always out doing charity events. Talk about why did you think that was so important?
Well, I'll give you this context. I love baseball, always have, and when the opportunity came up to be the lead part of the group that was buying the Padres, it really caught a fire in me. I've been involved with a number of businesses, you know, generally speaking about the same size as the Padres for my whole professional career. But what you can do in a community with a professional sports franchise is rare, it's unique. And with my partner Ron Fowler and really the whole Padres organization, we hold ourselves to a very high standard to give back, to make Petco Park really what it was designed to be when it first opened, is kind of a hub of celebration and family-friendly, diverse, safe entertainment for all of San Diego. And really, as we sit here today in 2019, we always challenge ourselves to do more in that area, and we always will. But it's time also to layer in some winning baseball, and that's really right now where 90% of our attention is.
All right. I want you to talk a little bit about your work here in San Diego with the homeless, because this is the time of year where, you know, every night on the news we see a different shelters feeding men and women that are less fortunate than us. But, I mean, you actually get out. I mean, you're just not a guy that throws in money and, you know, make sure they have food. You actually go out there and meet a lot of these folks.
Well, I do. They're people. And when it comes to homelessness, there are children that are homeless, there are elderly, all ages, all races, all shapes and sizes. And I think the homeless person, generally speaking, needs a helping hand from society. And I think we know how to do it. And I will really commend San Diego in general, whether it's people in the private sector like myself, or politicians, or philanthropists. Our city is doing better than most when it comes to homelessness. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation because there's a lot more that we can do. We ultimately, the way myself and a lot of business leaders in this city look at it. We don't have a homelessness problem in San Diego. We have a management problem. People that are homeless need a little bit of help, whether it's a person with a disease like PTSD or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or what have you, or simply their children from families that ran out of money. There's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle on homelessness. It gives me a little bit of optimism to say that San Diego's homeless numbers are basically flat in a state where homeless numbers are exploding by double digits, and that's because of the hard work, collaboration, and tireless work done by a lot of people in this city. And a lot of us have really committed to making a lifelong project and to push our city to best in class on homelessness and really to help the people that need help. And I'm one of many that see homelessness as a significant issue in San Diego, but one that is getting better, I believe.
We're visiting with Peter Sider, general partner of the San Diego Padres and lead investor. I want to go back to before you hired A.J. Preller. You and I met at a Chili's restaurant here, and you asked me some questions about the organization because you were new to town and you knew I'd been around the organization, and you told me you were close to hiring him, and you told me what your goal was. You wanted to build the best farm system in baseball, which the last couple of years you guys have been voted that, no question about it. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. You knew it wasn't going to be a quick fix. But where we're at now, how would you assess your plan going in? Obviously, it hasn't worked out quite yet at the big league level, but as far as having this farm system, because I remember you saying, we want to be able to compete pretty much every year. Once we get this farm system going and get these guys to the big leagues, get them some experience, we want to be able to compete every year. Now, AJ's been here a number of years, 5 years, I believe. Kind of give me your thoughts on where we're at right now, the way you see it from the owner's spot.
I think we have elite talent in our organization, whether it's Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis Jr., Chris Paddock. We also have very smart fans and who see what's coming, whether it's the Mackenzie Gores or Luis Patinos, our first-round draft pick last year, C.J. Abrams. But yes, we have the number one-ranked farm system, which is important. I think we're organizationally at an inflection point. It's time to turn the talent into winning baseball, and I believe we're going to start to see that this year. And like you and I talked about a whole bunch of years ago, John, it's not about catching lightning in a bottle and maybe winning for a year or a year or two. We want to be able to look any of the other ball clubs in baseball in the eye every single game we play and line up with as much talent as they do and maybe a little more passion, maybe a little more commitment to winning. One thing I know is when winning comes in this city, just the enthusiasm, crazy celebration of it all that will come from our fans will push us to maybe higher levels even than the average ball club. And none of us have a perfect crystal ball, but mine becomes more clear all the time. The winning really is coming, and it's because of the players. We at all levels, and now at Petco, really have players that can stand up and look anybody in the eye, talent-wise, in some cases, experience layered in. We're 90 days away from spring training or something, but I feel like it's tomorrow. It's starting to get exciting.
Peter Seidler joining us in studio here on 97.3 The Fan. Answer me this. You guys make the change with about 8 games to go. Andy Green, no longer the manager. Rod Barajas comes in. You eventually hire Jace Tingler. How does that work? I mean, does AJ come to you and Ron Fowler and say, hey, I think we need to go a different direction? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, AJ runs the baseball operations. Ron and I are there to give guidance. Ron more on a day-to-day basis, myself more on a strategic level. But, the three of us are, at this point, friends. We collaborate. We talk a lot. But, AJ's our baseball expert. And ultimately, he gets input from his lieutenants. He brainstorms with ownership. But he's the man that pulls the trigger. And the hiring of Jace Tingler, I think, has already started to shift what goes on with our manager and coaches. Jace is a, I would say a best in class communicator. He's a person that players love to be around. He cares about the players, and I think with the experienced coaches that we have around him, we made the change, which is never the easiest of decisions to make, but I think we got it right, and I think our fans will see it starting in spring training, opening day, and beyond.
Now, as far as like when AJ comes and, hey, you know what, we think we need to go a different direction here, guys. And, I mean, will you and Ron Fowler say, well, why, and have him give you some ideas, and then you guys say, okay, well, we're sold on that, and, let's go ahead and make the change? I mean, how does that work, really?
You know, at this point, there's not a lot of surprises. Again, we all know each other well. We interact frequently, on baseball stuff as well as other stuff. You know, we're all, we pass in the hallways in the office. And again, it's a real friendly, collaborative effort. But it's also clear, these are AJ's decisions when it comes to, the recent trades that we've made early in the offseason. This is after, considering literally dozens of options before, a certain trade is made, or, we signed current relief pitcher now, Drew Pomerantz, who we had experience
with. That was a nice sign.
I mean, Drew was absolutely dominant when moved to the relief role that he'll be in for us, and we have high expectations for him. Plus, we know him from being here before. He's a good competitor, a good man. He's going to be a great addition to our organization, a part of the winning that we think is coming.
We're joined in studio today by owner of the Padres, Peter Seidler. We're going to step aside. We'll come back with more. He'll be with us till 2 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, coming up in the next 30 minutes, you need to listen for your name to be called and give us a call back in 10 minutes, and you'll win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night on Friday, December 13th during the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights in the all-new shows and attractions like Sesame Street, Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. If you call back in time, you'll also be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift to Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. We're joined in studio by Peter Seidler, general partner of the San Diego Padres and lead investor. Peter, I want to go back to talking about Jace Tingler. I'm sitting here on the air, like everybody was, talking about who could be in play for manager with the Padres. Buck Showalter, Joe Girardi. We threw out all the big names. All of a sudden, Jace Tingler's name pops up. And I'll be honest, I had never heard of Jace Tingler. I didn't even know he was a human being. I had to look him up. But when I looked him up, the guy has done a really good job in any role he's ever had. He's managed down in the minor leagues, had a winning record in the minor leagues, bench coach a little bit there with Texas, worked in the front office. I mean, a really solid resume. Now, tell me how this came about. I mean, you guys are obviously looking for the new manager of the Padres, and, you probably had not heard of Jace Tingler either, had you?
Well, I had heard of Jace because when we hired AJ, AJ wanted to hire Jace, but we were blocked by the Texas organization. We hired AJ from Texas, and there were strong limitations on who we could hire. So I heard his name 4 or 5 years ago. I knew about him. We threw the net out wide and deep when it came to looking for our next manager, and the cream rose to the top. We ultimately had a small handful of candidates that got ultimate consideration, but Jace was the best fit. It became really clear after we did all of our diligence, and the bottom line is he's a great fit for us. Organizations win championships. It takes strength, and it takes a very strong chain all the way through. And I think Jace is the link in the chain here that's critically important to us. The most important relationship in a baseball organization is that between the GM and the manager. And we've got two guys that respect each other, and AJ and Jace, that know each other, that have worked well before. And, you know, baseball is different than I remember growing up with all the analytics, the depth in the front office, you know, kind of the balance between scouting and some of the statistics. And I think we have the balance that we think is the best fit for us. You know, we can talk about all these analytical things until I suppose we're blue in the face. These things come down to people. Jace is a good man. He's a caring human being. He's a passionate, super hardworking guy. And again, I believe he'll be the manager when the San Diego Padres organizations and all its fans celebrate the world championship one day this decade.
Hey, let me ask you this, just from an owner standpoint. And again, I mean, you're a very busy man. You do the financial stuff during the day. And I'm going to have you break down your typical day here in a minute for everyone, because you're really an amazing guy. And I was talking earlier before you got here about, you'll text me at like 2:30 in the morning because you're, you know, maybe out walking with the homeless, or you're at home and, you know, trying to get some work done after the kids go to bed. You're a pretty amazing man, but when you'd heard about Jace Tingler, but you know, AJ comes and says, "Hey, you know, this is my guy." Were you, or Ron Farr, were you guys at all concerned about hiring another rookie manager?
Experience matters. Experience is helpful, but it's not the only thing. And again, it came down to fit. Sure, both Ron and myself looked at the experience of all the candidates. And I think in today's world, Jace has very relevant experience and a broad base of experience. But I think, like all of us, I'm 59 years old. I expect to have another year of experience when I'm 60 and be better at what I do next year than I am right now. And, you know, I think Jace is going to be terrific in the beginning. He'll probably rely a little bit more this year on the more experienced coaches than he might, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. But we're focused on today. We're focused on having a great day today, preparing in every way, you know, in December in the off season, and then we'll do it again tomorrow, and we'll do it again the next day, and within 80 or 90 days, we'll be out in Peoria, Arizona, getting ready for the season. So I think Jace is a great fit for us.
Okay, I want you to tell us a little bit about your background growing up. You grew up in L.A., correct?
I did. I grew up part of the family that owned the Dodgers, and I grew up a Dodger fan. You know, I'm flip the coin to the other side right now. I love the Padres with every molecule, and to me, really, the Dodgers at this point are one of the other 29 clubs. You know, they're in our division. They're the 7-time defending division champion. We think we're the team that's going to knock them off that point and look them eye to eye through this decade. And like a lot of us have said before in this organization, we believe we're going to hold the trophy before the team in Los Angeles will.
What was it like, though, growing up in that family?
It was terrific. You know, there was a lot of baseball, but at the same time, my parents went out of the way to, you know, make it nothing special. You know, just basic parenting. You know, we're all the same on this planet, and you're no worse than anybody else or better. my father was a very hardworking man and made sure that. that all of his kids, I'm the second oldest of 10, he made sure that all of us had a work ethic, or maybe things weren't going to be so great that night at dinner time.
Hey, when you were a kid watching the Dodgers play, and then you went to the University of Virginia, graduated from there, came back, got a master's degree from UCLA, did you ever think you'd actually be a baseball owner? Did you want to be a baseball owner?
Well, our family sold the Dodgers in 1998. I love the game. Even when we owned the Dodgers, I loved the big red machine, you know, Joe Morgan and Johnny Benson. You know, the great players that were on the Reds, or the Cardinals, you know, the speed years. I met Vince Coleman for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
He lives here in San Diego.
He does, yeah. But Vince Coleman and Ozzie Smith, and, you know, how they would just put the fear in the opposition just by getting on first base. And, you know, side note, I think speed is going to come back to the game. There's a lot of talk about home runs now. But if you look deep into our organization, you see a lot of really talented baseball players that also have speed. Obviously, Fernando Tatis is a nice example of that, but he's one of many. And I think that's what we want to show our fans at Petco Park, like a fast, exciting, aggressive, fearless team that puts pressure on the opposition. And I think that's what we'll see, you know, really in all of our play, particularly at Petco Park. But yes, the Dodgers are part of my background, but it seems to me so long ago, I think I've forgotten about it. It's all about the Padres. And, you know, there's just no better city in this country and beyond, you know, in my view, to live in, to be able to raise kids. And what keeps me up at night, what really motivates me, is this city deserves a world championship. It hasn't had one yet. And the great people that I am privileged to work with at Petco Park work tirelessly with one goal. And I think we've talked about it plenty of times here just since I came into your office, John. We're all about bringing the trophy to San Diego.
And the one thing Peter said about speed coming back to the game, one thing about speed, it never goes in a slump, that's for sure. Real quickly, tell us a story. How did you get involved with buying the Padres? I mean, were you looking to buy a team at that time, or how did this come about, and how did you and Ron Fowler hook up?
Well, long story, I guess.
That's all right. We got plenty of time.
Bring it back to the headlines a little bit. The Dodgers were sold in 2011, and as it happened at the time, I was diagnosed with cancer, so I was getting chemo treatments, but I was advised by the doctors to be at home. So, and I have a financial background, so I was curious just what a baseball organization looked like on paper. And I got the information on the Dodgers and saw the whole situation. You know, there was a bankruptcy involved in different things. But through that, I heard the Padres might be sold. This was late 2011. And I got curious about that. And as I studied the city of San Diego and, you know, its history in professional sports, the great ballpark that Larry Lucchino led that became Petco Park here, I got really intrigued about the Padres. And as I was able to get through the cancer and saw that in my rearview mirror, I got more than curious. I got intrigued, and then at some point, I wanted to take a run at it. And a mutual friend said, well, if you're going to take a run at a sports franchise in San Diego, you probably ought to talk to the guy that's been involved in sports in a more serious and impactful way than anybody, and that was Ron Fowler. So I remember for the first time meeting with him, and we really just talked about life and business and philosophy and, you know, specifically as it relates to the Padres, what a great sports franchise can do in a city, not just winning on the field, but winning in the community and helping people and you know, like we talked about a few minutes ago, just having a great, safe place where families and people of from every background can go and have a good time, eat good food, have a Coke or a beer or whatever. And it was real easy for us to get to know each other, to believe that we would be good partners together. And I can't believe it's been 7 years. It's been I've never worked a day in my life, really, because even when I was in the private equity business, a company that I founded a long time ago, I loved it. I loved working the people that I was with and the partnerships that we formed in different businesses and in different industries. But there's nothing like professional sports. And for me to have the opportunity to raise my kids here in San Diego, to work with people like Ron with the Padres, and you know, equally important, to work with people like Dan Shea, who I work with on homelessness, and I could just mention name after name. It's such a great city. You know, one of the things that struck me is that people really, part of the culture in San Diego is to be collaborative. The universities don't fight the way USC and UCLA fight. They work together on a lot of different things. The hospitals work together on a lot of different things. And whatever background or business or family situation you're in, you're welcome at Petco Park to come out and see the winning. That's what we really hope to do with our Padres organization. But it's been a, from a personal standpoint, it's been a great run. But again, there's a lot of us that lie up at night thinking, what's the next step that we need to do to make it more likely that we'll be playing postseason baseball and getting to that trophy that we all want.
We're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll have one more lengthy segment with Peter Seidler, a general partner of the Padres, lead investor. Thanks for joining me today. The John Quintero Show to 3 o'clock right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. One thirty-nine, the time. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're going to 3 o'clock. It'll be Gwen and Chris will have a full 3-hour program. We're very kindly had Peter Seidler in studio. I appreciate him taking a little time out of his very busy schedule, general partner of the Padres and lead investor. And, you know, we were seeing these signings this morning. Cole Hamels, a 1-year deal with the Braves for $18 million. Zach Wheeler gets a 5-year deal with the Phillies for $118 million. The Padres so far this offseason, you signed Drew Pomerantz. You make a trade with Milwaukee. And I want to get your thoughts on that. Luis Urias, who was very well thought of, not only by the Padres, but in baseball in general. You know, just he hadn't played real well at the big league level here. He's still a very young ball player. You also send Eric Lauer, who'd been in the rotation each of the last 2 years. You get back a veteran right-hander in Zach Davies and Trent Grisham, a good-looking young outfielder. Your thoughts on trading Urias? Because a lot of the fans, everybody was kind of up in the air about giving up on Urias this young.
Well, you know, from my perspective, trades are always exciting because you bring in somebody that you want, but also a little bit tough because, you know, you're trading kids that you know, in my case, you know, I knew a little bit or met or spent a little bit of time with. Urias is a great kid. He's very young. You know, again, for me, it's all about the Padres, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I'll be rooting for him to do well with Milwaukee. You know, AJ felt that second base from a long-term perspective was a real position of strength for us. We have a lot of pretty special second basemen in the system. And then you saw what he did to kind of back up that trade with the deal we made with the Athletics a couple of days ago for Jerkson Profar, who has a chance to be really special, you know, maybe in a bounce back year kind of way. But, you know, going back to Urias, you know, by all accounts, great kid, talented kid, and he's got a great chance to do really well with Milwaukee or, you know, wherever his career goes.
And, again, it worked the same way. AJ comes to you and Ron Fowler say, hey, I got this deal on the burner right now with the Milwaukee Brewers, and this is what I want to do. And who's between you and Ron Fowler, who's the checks and balances guy that'll maybe, you know, come back at AJ and say, well, why are we doing this deal? Because I know Larry Lucchino, when he was here, he used to do that with Kevin Towers all the time. And there were times where he did it just to kind of, you know, mess with Kevin a little bit.
No, I really stay in the world of strategy on these things. I completely trust AJ, and I think Ron's, you know, more direct oversight really adds some value. You know, on more of a day-to-day basis, he's a great sounding board for AJ. But ultimately, both of us have tremendous confidence that AJ and really the people that he really relies on these baseball trades, you know, the leaders in our professional scouting department, you know, when it comes to the younger players, the people that run our minor leagues, our player development systems, I think we've got really best in class. I call them lieutenants under AJ at all levels. But when a significant trade comes up, I think, you know, both Ron and I will ask AJ the relevant high-level questions, and I think you know, I've never run into anybody that knows more about baseball and all of its players, not just in our organization, but all throughout the game, than AJ. And I'll make this comment that a lot of people don't know: AJ's a tremendous listener. Like when you walk into his office, often there's four or five of his baseball operations people in there, and he's usually not the one talking. He is the one that ultimately is going to make the decision, though.
That's a good leader. I know a number of years ago, I had a guy that worked for Theo Epstein when he was in Boston. He said, you know, the great thing about Theo Epstein is he's a great listener. And ultimately, the head man's got to make that decision. And I think good leaders are like that. They take all the input. And that's really good to know. Will Myers, I've been here since he got here, and I keep waiting for Will to take that next step. You guys gave him a nice long-term contract, and that contract's going up this year. Your thoughts on Will Myers, and do you think he can get back on track here in San Diego?
Well, I'm going to give you some context. I think our Padres organization is getting to the point. And we have to win before we do a lot of talking, but it's getting to the point where the phrase I use in a lot of different areas is just best in class. You know, you asked me about homelessness earlier. San Diego is moving very close in a lot of ways to best in class, whether it's what it does with the Veterans Villages of San Diego or Father Joe's Village, all the things that treat homelessness. And I'm going off on a tangent here, but I'll relate it to baseball. I think in all areas of baseball, we have to be great. And while there's no perfection, there, you know, to me, there's something, you know, that resonates called best in class, whether it's with how we draft players or sign players or evaluate them or develop them. And I think, you know, when it comes to specific players, best in class is for the owner to watch from a distance and let the experts make good decisions. And I'm an optimist. I love Will Myers. I believe he's going to be great this year. But when it comes to precisely how any player is going to perform, I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
Let me ask you this about Ron Fowler's comments. You know, I always like to describe Ron Fowler as a gritty little second baseman that would hang in there on a double play and, you know, drop his arm and make that runner get down trying to finish the double play. When he came out at the end of the year and said, you know, next year better be better or heads are going to roll and it may start with mine, What was your thought on that? And does he talk to you before he comes out and makes some of these statements? Because he's a pretty emotional guy when it comes to this baseball team.
I tell you what, Ron and I talk a lot, and neither one of us was happy with the way our season ended last year. We were 45-45 heading into the All-Star break. We had just won 3 straight up in Los Angeles, and the rest of the season was not good. And I think we expect, you know, every game, you know, every season, every month, every week, every game, maximum effort from our players. And we wanted the point to be made that, hey, we're ready to win. We're ready to win in 2020 and every year going forward. And I think we both just wanted to wash away the end of the last season, start fresh, and let's go at it. Let's bring a winning ball club to San Diego.
But did you talk to him about those comments and say, man, you really hit it heavy on that one?
If Ron Fowler has a number one fan, it might be me.
Well, I think that's very well put. You know, you travel a lot. You're a very busy man, you know, making money to, you know, put back into this ball club. And you're not at every game, but you're obviously watching wherever you're at. Ron Fowler's at the ballpark a high percentage of the time. I mean, are there some nights you just get so frustrated because the team is playing bad? How do you deal with that frustration?
Well, you know, every day's a better day when we win. But it's 162 games, and I think, you know, somebody in the baseball realm said a long, long time ago, one thing you know is you're going to win 60 and you're going to lose 60, so it's what you do in the remaining 40. What I really look at is, are we doing the right things behind the scenes every day? Are we preparing our players? Are we working collaborative and openly and transparently as a group? So as we approach, you know, every game, every series, every homestand or roadstand, that we're giving our ball club the best chance to win. As owners, are we running an effective business so that the Padres organization is able to fund the player payrolls? And I think one thing that's really always in my mind is the great support that we have in San Diego from our fans, from our business sponsors, People in San Diego love the Padres already. You walk around town and everybody seems to be wearing, you know, brown T-shirts. And
look at the guy you're looking at right now.
Right, brown brown pullovers. And we as an organization, do everything we can to honor the good treatment that we have from our fans and really from all the people in San Diego. And when it gets to the field, we expect a hard, gritty, full-speed effort from our ball club every night. And I 100% believe that's what we're going to see every game of the 162 coming up in the upcoming season, and that most of them are going to be wins.
You signed Drew Pomeranz to a very nice contract. You've made two different deals to get Zach Davies and Trent Grisham from Milwaukee. You pick up Jerks from Profar a few years back, the number one prospect in all of baseball, 20 homers each of the last 2 years, one with Texas last year with the Oakland A's. Are you guys still looking to be active in free agency with the winter meetings coming up?
We're active every day. I mean, what's interesting this offseason is, our organization and others talked maybe 3-4 weeks ago, hey, it feels a little different this year. It feels like clubs are going to be more active, that maybe some of the free agents are going to come off the board earlier than they did last year, that there will be possibly more trades. You never know on those things, but it's happening so far. You know, even today, driving out, you mentioned the two pitchers that signed. I know... there's a lot of discussions going on in our office all day long, basically every day, with as it relates to both free agents and trades. And again, the best thing for me to do is not to talk specifically about any of those things, and I won't, but I can tell you that there's a lot of serious discussions that are going on, meetings that happen with AJ and his people. And then something happens fast. You know, the other side says, sure, I will do that deal with you. We've seen a little bit of that happen so far. You know, again, I think at this point we have a really good core at our 25 man roster. You know, Tatis, Machado, Hosmer, several others. This is the offseason for us, I think, to be very precise, very careful, be surgical about what we do. And you know, it was several years ago we completely shuffled the deck. Set about a strategy where we would really be a homegrown organization for the most part, and then piece by piece layer in special fits. And I think whether it's with a Pomeranz or a Profar or the trade we made with Milwaukee, those are consistent with our strategy. But John, the offseason is early. There's a lot of different things that can happen between now and the day we open spring training.
And I know you're not going to talk, and nor would I ask you to talk about specific ballplayers you may be targeting in free agency, but I guess the one question I would ask about free agency, is there payroll flexibility to go out and sign another pitcher or an outfielder or a catcher? I mean, do you have the payroll flexibility to do that this year?
So I'll put it this way, you know, from day one, 6 or 7 years ago, we've been what I've called a budget-driven organization. We have a budget. That's the way the best operations in sports and otherwise operate. But we also have the flexibility to tear up the budget and do something different if and when it makes sense. And I think, you know, as an example, last year we weren't looking to at this time in the offseason, we were not expecting to sign a $300 million player contract. And ultimately we did. We're not going to do that every year. But, you know, like I said before, the word I like to use is surgical. Like, I think AJ is really, has a deep belief in, and I do too, and Ron does too, about our ball club right now. And if there's a piece or two, whether it come by trade or free agency, that we really believe makes sense, whether it's right now, next week, 2 years from now, like, we never stop. Like, we think we have a pretty good ball club today, but we want to make it better before we open spring training. And so there's always certain flexibility we can layer into the situation if it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this question because I get it asked to me quite a bit regarding Fernando Tatis Jr. There's no doubt this kid's a tremendous talent. I guess the only question is he can stay healthy. He didn't stay healthy that year in Double A. Last year he missed a lot of time. You know, the kid took baseball by storm last year. I know you guys have him under control for five more years, but people are already wanting to know if you guys are going to sit down and try to work out a long-term contract with him now or in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I'm not going to beat the phrase best in class up too much, but I think best in class is let's not talk about player contracts in the public domain. So, again, AJ is thorough. I think our fans know that.
Okay, that's good. I mentioned earlier, I want you to kind of throw out a typical day for Peter Seidler because you're all over the place. And I know you do a lot of traveling. You go to New York because of the financial business. But what's a typical day for Peter Seidler in business and in baseball? And family.
Well, I cringed a little bit when you said I was so busy. I'm no more busy than anybody else. I'm a family man at heart, and you know, probably deep at heart, I'm something of a couch potato. There's nothing I'd rather do than you know sit with my family and watch a Padres game at night on television, or you know sit at Petco Park and watch our games. I really don't travel that much. You know, I'm the founder of a financial firm that now is up in Marina Del Rey. I have eight partners. Two of them are younger brothers. The more I stay away, the better the business does. And in all seriousness, I delegate. You know, I rely on the people that really put in the 12-hour days at Petco Park. And, you know, the most important thing, you know, for me on a personal level is to be a good husband and father. And then by far the most important thing for me on a professional level is to see that trophy paraded around San Diego.
Well, you know, I know you're a big fan of the Padre fans. And, you know, we were talking during the break. I mean, once again this year, I mean, the ball club finished poorly the second half of the year, but still almost 2.4 million people came through the turnstile. They can say, well, there were a lot of Dodger fans, there were a lot of this fans and that fan. The bottom line, people love baseball in this town, and they love the San Diego Padres.
They do, and it's outstanding. And I think people believe in our organization, and I say that with a lot of humility. I appreciate it, and we do everything we can, ownership, executives, general manager, coaches, managers, players, you name it. We do everything we can to honor it. You see our players out in the community doing things with the Boys and Girls Club or with a homeless shelter. You know, our players generally give back in a really caring way. And as an organization, we appreciate and recognize the great support we have from our fans in particular and all of the city. And again, there's a lot of passionate, hardworking people that want to honor the great fans that we have by bringing them meaningful games in August and September, bringing them postseason baseball, and bottom line, getting the trophy.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's good to see you. We go back and forth texting once. I don't see you very often. You know, I'm up in the press box. You're in your booth or you're home with the wife and family. But I want to thank you. So far, so good this offseason. Looking forward to the winter meetings next week. And hopefully you guys can maybe get another starting pitcher and get this thing really rolling.
Thanks for having me in, John.
Great to have him in studio. Peter Seidler, general partner of the Padres, lead investor. We're going to step aside. When we come back in hour number three, we're going to announce the biggest fan, and we'll get to your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for joining me on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.